And we're now ready for our next session on age verification. It's over to you.
All right. Yeah, small announcement. As you might see, Felix was not able to join us today due to, the flu that is, I think, spreading around. I am Elina Orkalisi. I'm a spokesperson of the KS Computer Club, and I'm primarily doing EU policy stuff and have been working on the so-called chat control file for the last 4 years now with my lovely colleague Ella, who's head of policy at ADRI. And we will talk about age verification today and both the legal and the technical aspects and why we think that the open source communities need also to have an eye on this topic because it's coming for us hard. So, Ella, would you like to start it with the law stuff?
Thank you, Khaleesi. Yeah, I am a legal and policy person, so I'm just going to set the scene around what we're seeing at EU level when it comes to age verification in the last few years. And we wanted to talk about age verification because for us, following closely EU lawmaking, it is one of the hottest topics right now. We have lawmakers left, right and centre proposing it as the solution to almost any kind of online harm that you can imagine. And we are super concerned about that from a digital human rights perspective. It's a very blunt tool, and it comes with a lot of intended and unintended consequences. So together and with our colleagues, we've been really resisting this flood, this rise in thinking that age verification is the silver bullet. So around why it's such a big digital rights issue for us, we kind of see it on three levels. There's the data protection level, the privacy level, and the discrimination level. At the data protection level, if you have to verify your age to get onto chunks of the internet, by definition, you're giving up some of your personal data, and that's always going to come with risks of leaks, of hacks, of what's going to happen with that information, and we've seen it already. Pornhub, for example, in the past used to require all of their content creators to upload a scan of their passport, which they held in a non-secure space. That was a few years ago. So, you know, you're putting yourself at risk, your personal data at risk potentially. But then let's say you could theoretically, and we'll come to that, build a system that was completely data protection compliant. We're still opposing that as EDRI because the privacy impacts are potentially so profound. There is a step change for our free expression by saying that suddenly big parts of the internet are contingent on showing your identity documents. And I'm also a sociologist of tech. If we think back in some of the worst atrocities that have happened in human history, they have been linked to really strictly controlled identity protocols. So we really have to think of it in that sense. There's also, in the privacy bucket, the chilling effect that comes from the use of these tools. Even if your government or a service provider is telling you, yeah, trust us, everything's fine, we know that a lot of people will choose not to use certain services because of the age verification. And that then links to the issue of discrimination, which is that there are chunks of society, disproportionately minoritized people for whom these systems do not work as well or do not work at all. And all that we get then with these systems is the entrenchment of the discrimination and the marginalization that communities like undocumented people, racialized people, sex workers, and other targeted communities already face online. In the past, in the last few years at EU level, it has been possible for providers of different types of online services, so social media, apps, other kind of services, to use age verification if they want to. And increasingly, under the GDPR and the Digital Services Act, we have seen regulators more and more saying that especially for services that have a lot of minors on them, so social media, that the interpretation is they do need to start using age verification more. But we're now in a place where it's creeping towards being de facto mandatory or potentially completely mandatory. So we have some new interpretive guidelines under the Digital Service Act, Article 28 specifically, that are quite prescriptive about how especially social media services probably should be using age verification systems. But potentially even more worrying than that, we have the Child Sexual Abuse Regulation, more commonly known as chat control. And although it's the surveillance, the mass surveillance and the encryption breaking that's generally getting the most attention from chat control, what a lot of people don't know is that that law also has potentially mandatory age verification for private chats. So your Signal, your WhatsApp, your Telegram DMs, your emails, potentially all of these channels, if this law passes, could be subject to age verification because this law is based on the premise that sending a private message is inherently risky. So we could be potentially a few months away from rules if certain lawmakers get their way, whereby we cannot exercise our right to communicate with other individuals privately in the digital age without using our identities. And bringing it also specifically to the open source context, it's not just the communication services themselves where they might have to use age verification. It's also app stores. There's going to be a big obligation potentially put on app stores to verify the age of their users and control access then to all the apps in their app stores. And this chat control bill, it relies on the definitions that are in a law called the Digital Markets Act, which is actually aimed at kind of reining in the power of big tech. So in principle, we support the Digital Markets Act. It's got a lot of potential to open up fairer competition and to be really beneficial for the open source community. But the chat control bill does not limit this to gatekeepers. It doesn't say it's only the Googles and the Apples that have to use age verification, although as we'll hear, that's problematic too. But it would also impact, for example, F-Droid being forced to then bring in age verification controls to access the App Store, as well as to access a lot of individual apps. So we're potentially seeing an absolute landslide. In fact, this is my final slide. This is what is in the chat control bill around software application stores. It's not that they may do this, they shall take what's considered by the European Commission as reasonable measures. But as I've already explained, the risk profile of this law is done so that communicating privately is seen as inherently the highest risk thing you can do online, along with sharing pictures and sharing URLs. So 10 minutes left. Okay. So I will then move on to Khaleesi to give you the technical side of this.
Yeah, I think like very early on, I warned that the chat control file will lead to age verification and also like to force decentralization of the open source ecosystem. Before I get to those impacts, maybe get some terminology clear. There has been a workshop by the Internet Architecture Board and the World Wide Web Consortium late last year. So all like the definitions I have here can also be read up in the summary of their workshop. And I think it's really good to have some more terminology here to understand the risks and the harms that the age verification architectures could do. And also to evaluate them further, because we are at a time where age verification or age assurance, so age assurance is like the umbrella term for everything that provides some entity with information about the age of their user, while age verification is like a really specific thing, mostly tied to your national identity. And then there are other technologies like age estimation, where they either see like your face and the different features that are being classified, or like your behavioral data. So what age are you leaning towards in your behavior on a social media platform? This is also something that is being done. And of course, like the third thing is like inference. We all know that if you buy cigarettes, you need to use your credit card. If you're buying that somewhere in an automat to verify that you of age. So that being all those technical possibilities being laid out, which can be inherently problematic, as Ella said, like Pornhub has issues in the past, as well as Discord losing a lot of data for doing age assurance. But there are also other problems when it comes to the implementation. So the question is, where are we implementing that? Of course, what most policymakers think of is like service level, right? So any social media platforms verifying the age of their users before they are able to join. But there are also other things being discussed in other jurisdiction, which is like browser level. So the browsers would have like your age flag and present it to all like the sites you are surfing to. And that would be really problematic because then it's way harder to circumvent. And the same goes for the operating system level, which is very similar to parental controls for those who don't have kids and don't know it. So you can set up a device as for a child user, and then you have a certain control over what apps they are able to download, the age that is being set on operating system level, and so on and so forth. Most of the operating system providers offer that. And this is also like deeply then embedded into the operating system, which makes it also harder to circumvent, but also more riskier, depending on what data is being collected and being stored. The next thing, which I think is even more important when it comes to rating the risk and the harms of a certain architecture, is the different roles that are needed. So of course, there is usually a verifier. In the case of most age verification situations, it's like a proprietary software provider that sells the service to you as a service. And then there's a forcer, which would be usually like the platform, for example, or the app store enforcing what is needed. But then there's also something that makes the things more complicated, because we are speaking of like a global construct, and there might be different laws and different jurisdictions. So we need to also probably select the policy that is being enforced. And lastly, but most importantly, there's also like a need for rating, because the content needs to be rated in order to decide who should be able to access it. And this is like with like platforms, it might be rather easy saying like social media is banned for people under 16, but if we talk about the broader web, then that might be very difficult. And in all those constructs, those different parties can be also merged in some kind of way, because like Meta might supply their own age assurance service, and so they are handling the data. While other would argue it's always good to have a third party doing the verification, because then the provider doesn't have to deal with the data. So there are a lot of technical implications here that haven't been evaluated, probably, I would say. Basically, what we are seeing here is like rolling out a release without ever testing it, because we don't know what the impact will be on the broader web. We don't know what the impact will be on the open source ecosystem, and nobody ever talks about that, and this is like very problematic. And this is not a theoretical thing. When we look at different laws, the most public one right now is the social media minimum age in Australia. I think you all heard about it. They are requiring social media platforms to verify the age of their users, and when they are under 16, they are needing them to ban them. Actually, this is like Felix's part, so we could pull in some experience from GitHub, because GitHub actually has been contacted by the Australian eSafety Commission, and they considered that GitHub might fall under this bill and might need to verify their users and ban users under 16 from their platform. Luckily, GitHub was able to convince the Australian eSafety Commissioner that GitHub is exempted from the law, but we can see here that it's getting very problematic for code hosters themselves. And I think another example would be the UK, where Wikimedia is suing against the Online Safety Act, which is also going for age verification, in order to not have Wikimedia or Wikipedia under a required age assurance regime, which would be very problematic, also leaning towards like access to open knowledge. And it even got worse because the Germans are also in. We have a treaty in Germany that nobody really talks about. It's the German Treaty on Protection of Minors in the Media, or as we say, the Jungmedienstaatsvertrag. And it requires all providers of operating systems that are typically used by children to include a child protection filter in the operating system. But even worse, they also need the operating system to only run app stores that also have a child protection filter, and that's not enough. They also need the users only be able to use browsers that also enforce some kind of child protection filters. So child-proofing the internet the German way, and this is very problematic on so many levels. I think for open source distributions, one could argue like, yeah, children typically don't use them. Well, I think this is a bad argument as we try right now to run more people on open source. But secondly, it also leans towards the direction of criminalizing open source projects. The argument being, okay, they don't adhere to our laws, so they can only be used by criminal persons, so we try to ban them, and this is also not theoretical, that happened in France before. And as I said before, there are a lot of implications here, because if you do age verification, you need a verifier. If you need a verifier, you need to have some part of like centralization. And if you want to do it decentralized, then you need to build your own solutions, and this is problematic. So you might go back to centralization, then you need to keep the data somewhere. So there's a lot of things that needs to be considered. I think now is really the time to speak up, not only from a privacy perspective, but also like go back to your communities, to your projects, think about what that would mean for your project, if that would be a problem, what would be the implications, and what also would be the risk of rolling out such a infrastructure without evaluating the risk, but also like the harms that it could for could cause.
Thank you.